Welcome to the All Voting is Local press briefing on Duval County Voter Safety Call. My name is Richard, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Travis Abercrombie, All Voting is Local Communications Manager. Travis, you may begin.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining this call. As Rich said, my name is Travis Abercrombie. I'm a communications manager with All Voting is Local campaign at the Leadership Conference of Civil and Human Rights. We're pleased to host today's telephone briefing to discuss areas of opportunity for Duval County's election officials to make voting safer and more accessible in the upcoming general election. Joining us today are Tracy Davis, Tracy Davis from District 13, Brad Ashwell, Florida State Director, All Voting is Local, Linnell Filman, President, League of Women Voters of Jacksonville, First Coast, Sam Colby, statewide voting rights organizer, ACLU of Florida, Pastor Gundy, Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church, Monet Holder, Senior Program Director of Policy, Advocacy, and Research for New Florida Majority. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session after they speak, and the operator, Richard, will advise reporters on how to get in the queue at the appropriate time. First, we'll hear from Florida Representative Tracy Davis of District 13.
Is she muted?
If your line's muted, please unmute Tracy.
Good morning. I apologize for that. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for this opportunity for this call. I am Tracy Davis, State Representative, District 13. There are two issues that are on every voter's mind right now, COVID-19 and the economy. We're here today to make sure that Floridians are ready for the presidential election in November, especially here in Duval County. In May, our supervisors of elections, all 67 counties, requested approval from the governor for legislative flexibility to provide some necessary measures that would ensure safety and accessibility for all voters. No response came from our governor to their request. But he did pull down the over $2 million, $20 million from the federal government that was provided for election. So I'm here today with the stakeholders on this call to ensure that Duval County is doing what we need to do and taking the measures that they need to take to ensure that we are conducting safe, secure, and accessible elections for our voters. Our stakeholders on this call today will talk about VBM requests being mailed to every voter in Duval County. They'll talk about secure drop boxes at every early voting site and perhaps making that a curbside venture instead of the voter having to get out of their car and go into the early voting site, and possibly that same procedure on election day. They'll talk about the early voting locations and why we're still discussing having our two college campuses not being a part of that list. And they'll also talk about voter education when it comes to our polling locations being closed and the minimal type of notification that is happening here in Duval County. We want our supervisor to be successful. But these stakeholders on this call, along with myself, have answers to questions that have not received answers from our supervisor, and we're here today to ensure we get those answers. I know how we handle situations when I was the deputy supervisor for Duval County, but we don't know how those situations are going to be handled now that I'm not there. And now that our supervisor sometimes refuses to answer questions, we're going to ask those questions, and so we can't ask those questions anymore because our Duval County voters deserve answers, they deserve notification, and they deserve safe, secure, and accessible elections, especially our November 3rd election. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Next, we'll hear from Brad Ashwell, Florida State Director. All voting is local.
Look, thanks, Travis. Good morning. My name is Brad Ashwell. I'm the State Director for All Voting is Local, and I think I'm the only one on the call this morning who isn't a Jacksonville resident, so I'm going to keep my comments real brief. But, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it's almost certain we will be in November still. That's, you know, one of many reasons why it's so critical that Supervisor Hogan and really every other election official in the state do everything within their power to ensure voters can vote safely. Voters shouldn't have to choose between their health and their right to vote. And we're going to keep saying that until this election is over. Vote by mail is more critical than ever. It's an option for voters this election cycle, given COVID-19 health concerns. It's extremely important that supervisors of elections encourage voters to vote by mail and that they do everything they can to ensure those votes are counted. You know, I go further to say Supervisor Hogan has an obligation, both professionally and morally, to ensure our elections are safe, secure, and accessible to all registered voters. We were pretty alarmed when we heard right before the deadline to request the vote-by-mail ballot that Supervisor Hogan still hadn't sent anything to voters encouraging them to do that. He and every supervisor in the state should be sending every eligible voter who haven't requested a vote-by-mail ballot an application to request one. As well as instructions on how the process works, how to vote by mail, how to make sure they're, make sure they don't fall into the common pitfalls, like forgetting, you know, voters need to remember to sign the envelope, they need to make sure they turn it in on time, they need to be aware of options for returning the ballot as far as tracking it and potentially curing it if there's a problem. This is all basic voter education. He should be doing that all and much more, especially given the fact that we're in a pandemic. You know, supervisors in counties, in a lot of other counties, sent voter applications and multiple mailings, they ran campaign ads, encouraging people to vote by mail. This isn't a partisan issue. You know, Broward County sent applications to 1 million voters, which led to 310,000 returning them to request vote by mail ballots. Hillsboro sent 660,000, you know, back in spring, sent 660,000 voters who hadn't requested vote by mail ballots. Ballot applications. Pinellas sent applications for voting ballots to 390,000 voters. And Pinellas is kind of interesting because it's about the same population size as Duval. So, you know, they're both about 970,000, people, residents. But there's a stark difference in the numbers who voted by mail. In Duval, about 57,000 voted by mail, and then, you know, according to the state data. And in Pinellas, we saw over 179,000. So almost three times the number of voters voted by mail in a population almost equal to size. And the main difference was they encouraged people to vote by mail. So, you know, just want to emphasize it's important that he, you know, not only educate, but also expand options and educate people of those options as far as where to return those ballots. And I think other speakers will hit on this, you know, in more depth, but it's really critical that voters know they have the option of using drop boxes. Supervisor Hogan should be considering what other states like, you know, Leon, Miami, Orange, Broward, Hillsboro, as far as drive-off locations for vote-by-mail ballots. And he should be advertising those really aggressively. And on that note, I will turn it over to Linnell.
Good morning. I'm Linnell Philman, President of Legal Women Voters, Jacksonville First Coast. First off, I'd like to acknowledge what a difficult and challenging time this has been for our entire county, to include our supervisor of elections, the poll workers, and the postal workers as they continue to work to provide us with a safe access to casting our vote. Having said that, there is much more that can be done to increase voter access to the ballot box without increasing the likelihood of exposure to COVID-19. Along with stakeholders participating in this press conference today, the League strongly encourages Mr. Hogan to mail a vote-by-mail ballot application to all registered voters and inactive voters who have not yet requested their vote-by-mail ballot, and also provide a link to the voter registration forms or mail the voter registration form along with the vote-by-mail application. We also encourage him to commit to prepaying the vote-by-mail applications and the return envelopes so this is not a barrier for our voters. We also encourage Mr. Hogan to increase voter education regarding vote by mail, but especially as it relates to updating the signatures, signature matching, ballot marking, and return deadlines for those ballots. and through no fault of the Supervisor of Elections Office, the faith in the U.S. Postal Service ability to meet the needs of the public during the general election has been breached with photos of sorting machines and mailboxes loaded on flatbed trucks or locked or sealed mailboxes. In response to this breach of trust, we asked Mr. Hogan to install drive-through secure drop boxes at early voting sites to preclude voters from leaving their vehicles and to also place secure drop boxes in communities where transportation may be a barrier. The league trusts that Mr. Hogan takes the safety of our voters and our elections serious and know that he and his staff are up to this momentous challenge. In the days following our election, none of us want to be in a place of coulda, woulda, shoulda. We ask our Supervisor of Election to go beyond what he can do and instead do all that he can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Linnell. Next, we'll hear from Pastor Gundy, Pastor Gundy of Mount Sinai Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to be on this call. I want to say that everything that has been said thus far, I certainly agree with. And I want to be able to reach out to Mr. Hogan and appeal to the better angel that I believe exists within his heart. Because history has shown that we have had a tremendous problem in Duval County in our supervisor election office from the tune of 27,000 plus votes being thrown in the trash during a presidential election. As hard as this is for him to do his duties, I do not want to see it as thinking that he's incompetent in any way what he's supposed to do, but trying to figure out how we can help him do what needs to be done to make sure everybody has proper access to voting. Unfortunately, our appeal to him has fallen on deaf ears, which means that when our appeal to someone falls on deaf ears, then that means we are forced to pursue or take other actions that we think would not be necessary if we could just sit down to the table with him and get him to do those things that we're asking him to do, i.e., put those drop boxes outside of those facilities. I saw a senior having to walk 300 yards, it seemed like, to get to a voting facility, and she could hardly make it. I feel like that if Mr. Hogan would take another look at it and look at some of the recommendations that we were making to him, that this could be a great election for everybody. I think that we need to put those early voting sites back into the colleges at Edward Waters College, University of North Florida, as well as the precincts that they have, because it can be done. I think that they should not put an early voting site in the same place where they have COVID-19 testing going on, when right across the street. That could be a way to fix that problem. Now, I say this in a very humbling spirit. I do not want us to have to fight Mr. Hogan to get something done that he could do on his own. But if it is necessary for us to challenge him and to challenge in the courts or by any other means necessary that is legal, then we'll do that, because we have reached out to him over and over and over again, and he has refused, and his actions does not show that he's really concerned about people getting to the polls. So I'm hoping and praying now from the spiritual side of it. I think he's a spiritual man, that I appeal to the better angel side of him, that he would do what is right for the people of Duval County. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Gundy. Next, we'll hear from Monet Holder, Senior Program Director of Policy, Advocacy, and Research, New Florida Majority.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Monet Holder, Senior Program Director at New Florida Majority. New Florida Majority is an organization that is working to increase the voting and political power of marginalized and excluded constituencies toward an inclusive, equitable, and just Florida. Each presidential cycle, we do the hard work of engaging communities of color around voter registration, access to the ballot box, and policies that will make a difference in their lives. We do this because we firmly believe that every voter has the right to cast a ballot in a free, fair, and safe election. We know that elections are a lever for communities to build power and to shape the communities which they live and raise their families. As a result of COVID-19, polling locations have shifted. Voters are concerned about wait times and what protective measures are being taken to keep them safe at polling locations. They do not want to choose between their health and participating in democracy. Expanding access to the ballot comes in different forms, and we must continuously meet voters where they are. This stands true for voters who cast ballots traditionally on Election Day, and especially for those who opt to vote by mail. Once voters request and receive their vote by mail ballots, they have options regarding the accurate return of their ballot. Those options should be easily and frequently communicated to voters. During the August 2020 election, many of the voters in Duval County that New Florida Majority made contact with, predominantly voters who are black and brown, were unaware that they could safely utilize drop boxes to return their ballots and were not clear on the location of those drop boxes. Once we, New Florida Majority, provided this information to the best of our ability, it eased some of their concerns around vote by mail, but also highlighted that information regarding drop boxes must be clearly posted on the Duval County Supervisor of Elections website for easy access, and that overall, drop boxes are a necessity to ensure a participatory democracy. We call on Supervisor Mike Hogan to take the steps necessary to inform voters about their voting options and provide them with the tools needed to ensure their ballots are counted. We stand in solidarity with the organizations and the leaders speaking today on this call and want to reiterate that voting should be free, fair, and accessible, and that Duval County has several steps to take to ensure that it remains that way prior to and long after the November 2020 election. Thank you.
Thank you, Monet. And rounding out our speakers, we'll hear from Sam Coldley, statewide voting rights organizer, ACLU of Florida.
Great. Well, thanks everyone who has made a point to be on today's call. I know that we all really appreciate folks taking time to focus on how we can make sure that everyone in the community is able to have their right to vote insured. And what the ACLU of Florida is committed to doing is making sure that Floridians are allowed to protect their health and their vote, because we believe that making them choose is a false choice, and we will continue to challenge obstacles that are placed in their way. When we look at vote-by-mail rejection rates, too often we see that ballots are being rejected simply because they're coming in late or the signature on the back was not completed. The counties that have the very lowest rejection rates in the state attribute this to vote-by-mail education. See Pinellas in our Let Florida Vote, Coronavirus is Only the Newest Barrier to Voting in Florida, where over 50%, specifically 54.9% of voters in 2018 voted by mail, and only 0.12% of ballots were rejected. Duval, by contrast, actually had the very lowest percentage of vote-by-mail ballots that were mailed in 2018 of any large county, and in fact, even a lower percentage than any mid-size or rural county. And this is in of itself a concern to us, and our concerns about Mike Hogan's office have been compounded by his reluctance to speak not only with us, but with our constituents of his who have called in, as well as other statewide nonpartisan voting right groups that just want to ensure that all supervisors of elections are exercising every option at their disposal to ensure that folks don't have to choose between their health and their vote. That's why we would like to ensure that we do have ballot deposit drive-through sites. Drop-off sites are a reliable and accessible way for folks to guarantee their vote-by-mail ballot. It simply does not make sense that during a pandemic, voters who do not want to vote by mail should have to enter a physical early voting center to drop off their ballot. This is not what is happening in other counties, and it does not need to happen here in Duval. In addition, when we're talking about college campuses, we want to be clear that we understand that college students are the most likely to not have their vote-by-mail ballot count, with a 5.4% rejection rate for 18 through 21-year-olds in 2018, as opposed to a 1.12 rejection rate statewide. So having these college campuses that are open, that are having thousands of students living on-site housing, it is irresponsible to not have those early voting locations, and it essentially guarantees that a higher percentage of those students will have their ballots rejected. Florida should work to encourage participation by students and young people by placing those polling places on college and university campuses, and we should provide funding to county supervisors of elections to ensure that polling places are located to provide easy access to all voters, and we should pay special attention to not only students, but also making sure that we're providing voting sites in communities serving disabled people, people of color, you know, and the students, all of whom have been historically denied equal access to polling locations. The fact that Mike Hogan's office only sent out the bare minimum of vote-by-mail education, non-application, after we had done concerted calls into his office, and that mailer was sent out at the very last minute that someone could apply is very concerning in our view, because it says that Mike Hogan's office is not going to do the bare minimum that other counties are doing across the state unless his constituents demand that change. We hope that it is not necessary for constituents to have to increasingly loudly demand this change, but we want to be clear, Mike Hogan's office has the power to make it far easier and safer for Duval residents to vote and be able to vote by mail confidently, knowing that their ballot will count. We should not be denying education that could ensure that less people have their ballots arbitrarily rejected because they did not understand the specific laws of the land. As other folks have said, we want Mike Hogan's office to succeed, and we would not be putting on this press conference if we did not have genuine concerns, but also we're hopeful that his office will listen and do what he can to ensure that more folks are able to vote, such as sending out vote-by-mail applications, providing ballot deposit drive-through sites, and reopening the early voting sites on college campuses. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. We are now ready to take questions from reporters. Reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Richard, the operator, can you please provide the instructions for asking questions?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question on the line, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced, and if you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone, and we're standing by for questions. And again, as a reminder, that's star then one for any questions. And I'm showing no questions in queue at this time.
Okay, I'd like to open up to the speakers. Is there anything else, any other points that you'd like to make?
This is Brad with All Things Local. There's one thing that I think Linnell touched on it, but I don't think anybody else really expressed it or emphasized it. But one problem we saw last week in Duval County during the primary, and it was a problem in a lot of counties, was the last minute cancellation and changing of polling places and not adequate publicity around that. This is a serious issue that could be a lot more serious in November. that's just something that needs to be on the press's radar and really should be something that the supervisor is taking more seriously and doing more work to educate the public on. Really, it's a problem across the state, though. It's not just Duval County.
That's right. There have been, you know, these early or unannounced closures that have resulted in volunteers having to stand in front of those now closed but not really made public closed locations. And we've had reports of folks directing as many as 150 or 200 people to their proper polling site. This work should not be done by, volunteers. It should be something that the supervisor of elections is actually making sure is something folks are aware of. We understood that in March, when the early voting was happening as the World Health Organization declared a pandemic, that inevitably some changes might have to make, but we're now many months into this, and to still have last-minute polling changes without public notification is not acceptable, because it just doesn't make sense why the public cannot be notified of these changes.
And just to dovetail on that, I think several concrete, simple things they should be doing that, you know, Supervisor Hogan and others don't seem to be doing is updating the My Precinct Finder information in real time. That wasn't happening on Tuesday. And they need to be putting up proper signage to direct people. As Sam said, you know, a lot of voters were, you know, confused and not sure where to go, and there wasn't anyone or anything directing them to their proper place. And that's really not a hard fix. And we really need supervisors to take that issue seriously.
And hey, gentlemen, this is Tracy Davis. I'll add to that, being a former election official coming out of that office. Like I mentioned earlier on the call, there are some things I know we did while I was in the office, and it was having someone stationed there. It was the signage, and it was sending out new voter registration cards to those individuals that were affected by the change. But again, those are questions that we need answers to, because that type of situation cannot happen in November with the number of people that we're anticipating coming out on election day. So we have to get answers, concrete answers, as to what Supervisor Hogan is going to do to ensure those voters know where they're going well before election day.
Operator, there are still no questions from the press?
No, we have no questions at this time.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to offer one last opportunity if anyone else has anything else to say, and then we can conclude the conference.
Well, again, I would just add that the ACLU has seen that the most issues with the transition that we're having around this pandemic have been in the states that have had historically the least amount of vote-by-mail participation. Therefore, the fact that Duval County has historically had the least amount of vote-by-mail participation of any large to medium or rural-sized county should mean that Mike Hogan's office is being responsive to the public and proactive to ensure that they do not have issues come up. We would not necessarily have to have this press conference if his office had been willing to be more forthcoming with folks who just want to ensure everyone is able to have their vote count and that there is clear transparency between the Supervisor of Elections office and the public.
Okay. I think we've said what we need to say. And that'll conclude today's call. Thank you for joining us. We'll be releasing audio of this call later today. If you have any additional questions or want to reach out to the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. Thanks so much and have a great day.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.